Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode 124, and we're recording Sunday, August the 17th. My name is Jason, and I'm joined by my co-host Heather. Hey, Heather.
Hey, Jason.
I would like you to be my guest.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
So, Heather, how you doing? Ready for Galactic Stronghold?
I hope so. It's coming up today when you guys will be listening to this episode on Tuesday. Are you ready for a Stronghold?
I am. You know, we've been waiting for it for so long, and it's like, oh my gosh, it is here. It's right here. You guys are playing it. In fact, well, this is being listened to, I'm going to be playing it. I'm excited. I can't believe that it's here. A lot of people didn't think we'd ever have housing because we had our starship. It's pretty cool. I mean, I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think there's going to be a lot of things, especially going along with the flagships and stuff like that. And don't forget, we got a new tactical flashpoint. I think there's going to be a lot of things in there for a lot of people. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm most excited about all the guild stuff. We've been doing a lot of preparation for that recently. We've been doing like story mode, hard mode, nightmare versions of all the classic operations just for mats and achievements, just because the more guildies that have the achievement points, the more it helps the guild overall total prestige, I think. Or I'm not sure if it's prestige, but whatever it is that boosts your guild score, it's helping that all the guildies have these achievements and decorations in their house. So that's good. I've also donated all of my crafting mats that I've hoarded in my cargo hold to the guild because I don't like to craft. So they're just going to handle all of that. And, you know, if they tell me to, you know, do some underworld trading missions or whatever the other missions are called, then I'll run those. But otherwise, there's people better than me at crafting.
Yeah, we were doing some of that stuff, and you know, I did the same thing, donated some of my stuff, crafting thing, to the guild bank. So that was your raiding this past time?
Yeah, well, we also we did the Rackle event. I did the Eyeless boss in hard mode, story mode. I did it in all the modes except for 8-man hard mode. For some reason, didn't get that done, but probably because I only have one tune that I'm really comfortable raiding with, so I guess we couldn't... Or I couldn't handle hard mode on my crappy, you know, whatever character I was using. We did do the world boss a few times. I didn't get the pet that drops from there, but I'm not so concerned over that.
I didn't get to do the world boss or the op boss, but I did mess around a little bit with the Rackle event. I liked the Rackle event. I really was glad to see it come back.
Yeah, it was fun. It was exactly the same, except for the, you know, the mobs inside.
Yeah, the NPCs were a little different.
Mm-hmm. But I hadn't done the very first Rackle event, the very, very first one, which was a little bit of a different format, so I guess I have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, the very first one, I got to do that one. The very first one, I have to say, was pretty epic as far as an event, and I wish they would bring it back in that style. I mean, you had quests that would, if you completed a quest, and it was a multi-stage quest, you would get a pet. You would, you know, it was so many different things you could do. It was really cool. And each day it kind of built upon itself, and like if you had to do so many things, and you could get this piece of the hazmat armor. And it was really neat. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, they couldn't do this, but I do like the event, don't get me wrong. I think it's got a lot of neat features that goes with it. I like the ops boss. I think that's pretty cool that they've got that included in the game, the heroic area. I like the fact that they kind of encourage that crossover of the Republic and Empire, so you guys are in that area, especially for your gankers.
Oh my gosh. So I'm on a PvE server and no one is ever flagged. I'm like running around with my guildies trying to get people to, you know, either attack us or trying to find people that are flagged. And it's just so frustrating. I'm like, I want to PvP and everyone just wants to do their quests. So I guess I understand, but come on.
What you do is you flag yourself. And then wait till they're doing their area effect when they get attacked by all the rat ghouls, and then run in to get an AoE damage, and then boom, then you can take them all out.
So that didn't work so well. I didn't see a lot of large groups that were flagged, unfortunately. So oh well, whatever. But I did play on the Bastion this past week though. I didn't do any of the Rackle event, but I did do some GSF, and I ran the SLS on the Republic side, which, shocking.
What did you take that?
The SLS?
Mm-hmm.
This story, I don't really like that one NPC, the one that tries to kill the engineers. I don't like her. Was that a spoiler alert? Spoiler alert. Yeah. But, you know, this is the first flashpoint in the game.
It's the first flashpoint, I think, too. Good. Yeah, the one Twi'lek or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of shady.
So I did that. And I did leave her. I left her on the...
to be fair, yeah. I've done it both ways for the achievements and the titles.
Yeah, I got my Backstabber achievement on the Bastion. So, yay!
Yay, you. Anything else you did this past time, or...?
Oh, yeah. I installed a new solid-state drive in my computer, so now it's... you know, loading way faster. Especially there's some bosses like Calpheus and Dread Palace where you switch from past, future, present, and you have to do it kind of quickly. It's so much faster. It's a lot better. So I'm really glad I have that installed. And I did it myself, which was shocking.
Nice.
Yeah, I did it myself, and I installed Windows. I did a fresh install of that. And so, yay, look at me being all techie. So how have you been, Jason? Did you do a new operation?
Well, you know, it's been a couple weeks, so yes, I have. Although I did miss, it was during the Rat Ghoul week. I wasn't able to do it that Friday, or Friday night raid night. I wasn't able to do that. I had some family over and stuff like that, so I didn't get to do that. So I missed out on Eyeless. And missed out on the world boss, but I did do some Rat Ghoul event stuff. And we actually, me and my nephews, that Saturday, we actually found a way to have a little bit more fun with the event. It was kind of like, okay, we took like multiple different levels of characters, and whatever, if you're in the group, if whatever the highest level character, if you're not careful, that's going to be the level of people that come out of the NPCs. So we kind of worked around and got what we did, and so we grouped up, and we were able to take my one nephew who's got a low-level character, and we were able to take him through it and get his stuff for the daily events and stuff like that a couple times. So that was kind of cool. So he helped get some rep at the Thorn and get his Rat Gold DNA canisters. And then we kind of, I don't want to say, we didn't cheat in the heroic area. We didn't cheat, but I had my 55 sniper, and I got in the heroic area, and they were like level 30-something and 20, and so I ungrouped with them, and then they clicked on the things, and then, well, I was worried, and so I always thought they were attacking me, and so I just happened to shoot the guys. So I kind of helped them with their heroic thing. So. I mean, they were getting attacked. I was just trying to get to the Jawa. That's all I was doing. I just went to this Jawa, and, you know, I saw these rat ghouls come out. I was scared. I didn't want to get infected.
Did you get any crystals or any fun stuff from the vendors?
Actually, I got a lot of the canisters. I didn't go and actually purchase anything yet. I'm going to have to wait for him to come back, the little Jawa to come back. Now, I can't still go to the Thorn. They got their rep on Nar Shaddaa, so I'm going to probably check out and see what I can get. I'm not really sold on the kind of the messed up, diseased customizations, although me and my nephew thought of something else you could do, get those and put them on your characters for during Halloween in your Galactic Strongholds.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
So I thought, hey, that was a heck of an idea. Give a shout out for him on that one. So that was really cool to kind of deck out your, thinking ahead here, decking out your stronghold for Halloween. But
that
no,
sounds fun. I hope they give us some Halloween decorations.
That would be awesome. I think so, too.
They give us Life Day decorations. Life Day. And it's all
Christmas. Well, it's Death Day. So, and so let's see. What else? Oh, so then the following Friday, which was just this past Friday, I got back on my rating stuff, and they were like, okay, we're going to do, because the same thing was going on in our guild, we're going to try to get mats and stuff like that built up. So we did Nightmare Mode of Eternity Vault and Karagas Palace. And I've never done either one of them. They were like, Nightmare Mode. And I was like, okay. And it was just eight, man. So, it was really fun. And it's going great. We did everything, the droid, and went through the lava thing. Although, we had to hurry up and loot that because all this stuff was sinking into the lava. So, I was like, quick loot. Okay, bye. So, that was really good. I thought that was really cool. We did the different, individual fights. What's that area called? Everybody pairs off the one NPC, and you have to take down your own separate fight.
Oh, on Eevee?
Yeah. I forget what the...
I don't know what they're called. I know what that part is.
So, yeah, but we paired off everybody, so... And I didn't mess up and do an AoE or anything like that, so... but then I do have a tale of woe and also a little tip for everybody else out there. It's the noob tip. Talked to you by Corellian Run's own operations noob, Jason. When you are in an operation, especially if it is the last boss fight of an operation, and you happen to die because, say, Soa was tossing around the room just at the point when the middle part was going to fall out, don't. And if you try all your hardest, even use your roll, jump, everything you can do like that, and don't get back, and you happen to fall... As much as I wanted to get back into the fight, and so I was thinking, how can I get back in quicker to revive myself? I know. Ooh, I'll click on the revive button outside. Oh, don't do that.
Oh, no, so you didn't get credit for being
That's
so bad.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I beat it? Yeah, yeah.
And
that's happened to me at least once.
And once
is enough.
Yeah, that's all it's going to take. Yeah, trust me. I'm going to eat. My dead body's going to be there. Like, hey, I'm just sitting out, chilling back, sipping on my coffee, waiting for you guys. Hurry up, meet him. I was like, because that was the whole thing. I was like, okay, I got to get back in the fight. I got to help out. And so I just was like, click on it, because I was like, my body's still up, and they're all down. I was thinking, okay, there's no way. And then, ugh. So I clicked on it, and I was sitting there. I got to listen to the last little bit. And, of course, my guild is... Now, the raiding group, you know, the Admiral Snack Bar, they just totally dominated, even with seven people. That was kind of like, oh, no. So, yeah, I did Nightmare Mode, but didn't get credit for Soa. Yeah.
That's okay. You can always go back and do it.
Yeah, it was fun. We'll be doing it a lot more. And, in fact, I think Tuesday nights I might start helping out the 16-man group.
Oh, nice.
So,
more ops for you.
More ops. I know. I'm totally addicted now. This is crazy.
You know, someone was giving me some issue. I kept saying raiding, and they're like, no, you're doing ops. So now I'm just thinking about it every time I say it. Doing ops, doing an operation.
Yeah.
Not raiding, because we're not playing WoW. Whatever.
That's the thing. Everybody's like, I can't say raiding because we're not in WoW. Okay. Ah, whatever. Everybody knows what it means. But yeah, no, I really like it. Karagas Palace, that was awesome.
I like the boss with the two guys. I forgot what they're called, but I like when they say the little one, which little one, or you know whatever they say. I really like them.
The two guys in the like throne room area.
Mm-hmm.
Jarg and
Sorno.
Sorno, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was my that was one of my favorite bosses back in the day when we did KP a lot more, so it was fun going back to it.
Well, I like the fact that you have to make sure you take them down pretty much at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really cool. So you had to really pay attention on what you're doing percentage-wise, and they'd say switch off, DPS switch off, and stuff like that. See, there's stuff that DPS has to do, not just kill things. We have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Stop killing this guy, kill the other guy. But yeah, no, it was really fun, and like I said, you know, the group I'm with, they know the battles inside and out, and it's like where to stand, where not to stand. So it was really good. So I'm actually feeling like, you know, I'm getting the hang of this a little bit. I think maybe I've got that. So we're gearing up now for Stronghold. Speaking of that, I think we can move on to the news, maybe.
From the NewsNet and beyond.
As we said, Galactic Strongholds will be live, and actually is live when you actually get to hear this by the time we get it posted. It is going to be in the game. It is here.
Woo!
I know. Huge update. Content, folks. Content. You wanted content? Here you go.
Yeah, I'm going to be spending lots of hours trying to make my house look good. Actually, my guildmaster just said, okay, well, once it gets loaded in, just put everything on the floor. Don't worry about decorating, so we can get all those guild points when you do stuff.
Just find a hook and put something on it.
Yes, so I'm basically just going to be moving in and throwing all the boxes on the floor and going.
I'm going to have this, like, really nice room. And you'll see these nicely rooms all sparsely decorated. And then there's going to be one cubby hole off this side. You walk into it, and it'll just be packed full of everything. This is where she put the rest of this stuff.
So super excited for that. Super excited to do, you know, those guild conquests and kill the commanders in the PvP area. So, yay!
Kill the commanders in those, yeah. I'm excited for the guild stuff. I don't know if I'm excited about that. And that's just because of an element that, you know, we've talked about, whether it's an event like the Gree event or anything. I'm just not a huge fan of a PvP area that's required with a PvE objective.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I love the fact there's PvP. They want to try to get open world PvP. I'm kind of like, well, you have these planets that you want to do this all on and part of the conquest. Why don't you find an area? Because these planets are big, folks. Find an area and set up like another outlaw's den on every planet, and you have to hold that or kill so many people in that for stuff. Set up little terminals that you have to, like, almost like nodes in, like, the war zones.
Mm-hmm.
You click on them, you activate them. There may be nobody there. You could, like, okay, timers went off, we got it. But then again, it could be outlaw's den, everybody walks in, you know, hey. For me, it kind of is, there is a kind of a competition between guilds. And it's not just the Republic guilds versus the Empire guilds. It's also even other Empire guilds versus other Empire guilds or other Republicans, other Republic. If you're flagged, you can only fight the Republic guilds. If, say, another Imperial guild would come in and then later and then take that commander away or vice versa, I don't know. I'm just seeing, it's going to be interesting, let's put it that way. I think it'll be interesting how it all plays out. I'm excited for it, though. I think it's going to be a neat change of pace.
Yes, definitely. Lots of new things to try and do.
I agree. It's going to be interesting, I think. Definitely going to give us a lot of things. And the whole thing of actually seeing, like, when you walk into an area, blah, 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 guild owns this area. It's going to be kind of cool. I wonder if you have to pay tolls to them or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know.
I hope not. Other news we got going on. This is about, we just now, update 2.9 is now live. Update is on the PTS. At least some of the class changes.
2.10.
Okay, we'll go 2.10. I'm sorry. Heather says it, so it is so.
Yeah, so 2.10 class changes. I know they did quite a lot, but you know me, pretty self-centered with my Sith Assassin, and I know they did some changes to Deception, which is Infiltration to the Jedi Shadow. I tested it out this past weekend, and I parsed 300 more than usual, which is pretty good. And that's, you know, not parsing for hours trying to get a higher score. The change to Recklessness, giving 2 instead of 3 charges, to me, that's not an issue at all. I know I've seen some a little bit complaints about that, but mm-hmm. overall, it's a buff to Deception a lot. The sustainability, I think, still could use some work, but I think if I was any more efficient, I'd probably be monstrous.
Well, and that's the thing. I think they don't want to give, like, too much, and then it's like, OK, okay, now you've obliterated everything. Now we're going to have to pull you back a little bit. So
yeah, it would be nice, though, for once, for people just to say, hey, you know, this is good. But I take my Deception Assassin to a nightmare operation, so I'm good.
I didn't get to check out much on the PTS. I've just been really busy with other things going on. But I did read up about it, and I started when I was doing it for my hole net links and stuff like that. I found out that they were going to do the sabotage probe. They were going to, that's going to take off time. This was for every agent. And we're going to lessen the time so you can use that more. And I'm thinking, all right. But then we're going to knock off 11% of the damage. What?
Yeah, I know they did some changes to the middle tree, right?
Lethality, I believe, the one.
I know it's Saboteur for...
That's right, engineering. But I knew they made some changes on that with some different, and that deals with a lot more of explosions and stuff like that. But then after that change they were going to make for all agents and all gunslingers, they were like, never mind. Basically, the community spoke, and BioWare listened. So I guess the big lesson, you've tested out, you've got some good things you found out about it. I think if you're curious about what changes are coming down the road for some of the advanced classes they got in there, you need to log on to PTS and give it a try. Let them know what you think of the 2.10 class changes. And then this past week, the big Gamescom convention was going on. And during the convention, EA, being a huge publisher they are, had their press conference. And during the press conference, they gave about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, where they just talked about SWTOR, which was really good. I mean, we're back in EA's good graces, I believe. Kind of happens when you make them $160-some-odd million in a year. Hey, this is a game that might be doing well. And they mentioned about how Galactic Strongholds would be coming out and a bunch of other things that they were really excited about the game and how things were going. And I believe, you saw something else that was going on during that same time? Another article, I think, you came across?
Oh, yeah. Star Wars The Old Republic continues to stay afloat with over 1 million monthly players. That's a lot of players.
1 million.
Where are they?
1 million. I think they're all playing Galactic Starfighter.
Yeah, they must be, because whenever I queue, I see all these people that don't have the subscribership, just the two you get for free to play. So there's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot there.
But I have to say, last night, and this was after midnight on Eastern Standard Time, I was with my nephew, when we queued up for a couple of tactical flashpoints, we no more than put our things up for queue and it popped. Last night, the queues were popping for all kinds of things. So whether it was Galactic Starfighter or flashpoints, anything, they were going quick last night. And that was, it's Saturday night, but still it was pretty late at night. So it was nice to see that. And Fleet seems always packed.
Yeah, it's really cool. And if it's 1 million users now, it should be going up after Strongholds. And then, in the next expansion, when they start announcing that and getting ready for that.
Golly, it is. We're over halfway through August. We'll be in September soon. Good grief. It'll be here before you know it.
I know.
It's going by so quickly.
Oh, also at Gamescom, didn't they have that cantina in Germany?
Yes, they did. I don't exactly have the link. I will find that and try to find that to put it up in the link. I did see a few images from that. They basically, nothing like groundbreaking or something most people haven't seen. They did have a few more images from the Manon Flashpoint. There's that one particular Wookiee they showed already on the main website, but they showed him in several different instances in that Flashpoint during the story part of that. So I will try to get that and post a few of the images we have when I post the art.
Yeah, well, maybe they didn't announce too much because they're getting ready for the upcoming cantina in Seattle, which we talk about in our community buzz.
Yes, we do. And I guess we can go ahead and talk about that. Let's get into the buzz.
So like I said, there will be another Star Wars The Old Republic community cantina in Seattle in conjunction with PAX Prime. This will be in less than 2 weeks. This is really exciting for me personally, just because this is last year was the first community cantina I had ever been to, and it was in Seattle. So that's really exciting. I won't be going to this one, but Ben, he's a player on the Harbinger and actually a guild member of mine that I met last year. He's going to be live streaming the Cantina, which has not been done before yet, surprisingly.
I know.
Yeah.
Way to go, Ben. I mean, seriously.
He's going to be posting some more details on Reddit tomorrow, which will be Monday. So if we're posting this on Tuesday, you guys should see something on Reddit titled Tor Community Cantina Live Seattle Details from him.
Nice.
And we're also going to include a link to his Twitch channel, so that way you guys can click on that on the day that it happens so you can see the Cantina Live if everything works out.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have the link to that so we can all tune in and check it out. For all of us that can't get to Seattle, we can still check out PAX Prime and see what's going on with the Community Cantina there. That would be great. Way to go, Ben. BioWare, you might want to look into this. You guys have been doing all the live streaming yourselves. This would be a great opportunity to live stream the Community Cantinas. Hint, hint. It'd be a great opportunity. Speaking of the event like the Seattle, the Community Cantina, we were talking a little bit about the past couple of weeks, of course. Seems like every week there's been a different event lately. Me and you had talked via email a little bit about. So we got to thinking, or at least I got to thinking, what would we like to see in like future events? Would we like to see them as frequent as they have been? You know, like 1 week this and next week something else. Or maybe less frequent, but a larger encompassing kind of an event. So do you have any thoughts on that, Heather? What did you come up with?
I think I would actually prefer a bigger, more infrequent event.
I kind of came up with a few things myself, and I have to agree with you. I would rather it be something where I have to kind of like, oh, that event is going to be in such and such month. Well, I'm going to plan for that. And then, you know, other things I'm going to be doing is getting ready for that or just doing my regular dailies, operations, what have you. Leveling up other characters, making another up-team gazillion alt, whatever. I'm just playing the game. But then I know that this is a big event that's coming around. And for me, this is what I would say. It would be like a month-long event, have a daily, weekly, and probably monthly quest / rewards. So it's something that builds upon itself. I would like to see it on multiple planets with encompassing the different events. And you mentioned like the Eyeless and different operation bosses. I would like to see something like that as part of a thing where you can go in there as part of the event, but something would lead up to that.
Yeah, I wish they had something, you know, kind of like when you get the HK droid or the Seeker droid missions where they take you along into, you know, it's more detailed rather than just go in, go do dailies, go kill a boss.
Yeah.
It's more involved, like there's flashpoints that you can do or heroics. You know, there are heroics in the GRI and the Rackle events, but it just seems so much more involved when, you know, when they have you jumping through red lasers or trying to get through a puzzle. I really like those.
Even for me, like you mentioned, all the other type of events, they could easily set up something like, you know, give out rewards for kills and matches won in war zones and GSF. It would take, like, what, a little two-sentence little blurb that you could have an NPC say to you of why you need to do this, or even something, because even the GRI event, once you get to Ilum, you're opening up a terminal, and it gives you the quest. It's not like anything's talking to you. You might have a GRI droid every now and then talk to you, but, like, again, you just have an NPC tell you, like, thank you for blah, 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 your assistance in this matter, for your contribution, blah, blah, blah. You know, something like that. And it doesn't have to be like the typical, like, dailies. It could be other parts of gameplay that they incorporate into the event somehow.
Well, with Guild Conquest, it might, you know, kind of is like it'll be a constant event, like a big event.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And they do have the Guild Leaderboard, and that's going to be interesting.
But I'd like to see something similar to the Shevin event. I don't know if you guys remember that one at all, but it was cool. It was, you know, it was so long ago I can barely remember anything except looking for little boxes on Nar Shaddaa. But I remember it being fun aside from that craziness. And I, you know, I got a bowcaster. I mean, you can't get that anymore.
Nope.
There's nowhere that you can just get a crossbow.
Yeah, I've got the two. I got the sniper and the blaster crossbow for that event. And a ton of tickets left over. Just saying, if you want to bring that event back, go ahead.
But that one, I would like something similar to that. It just seems more epic than, you know, just go to go pick up your dailies. I mean, I like the Gru event. It's just
something that makes you feel like there's a reason I'm doing this.
Something very unique.
Well, I even thought of maybe some sort of leaderboard element for the event, but would also add a server versus server category.
That would be kind of intense.
That's what I'm saying, because if you encompass different mechanics, so you're encompassing like war zones or GSF, and also flashpoints and different things like that, and possibly, I mean, there's going to be some of these little like daily missions they're going to have possibly with it. If I was making it, you'd still have something like that. But if you have encompassed more of these different things, then, you know, just because that's a PvP server, they may do less dailies or they may do less PvE stuff. So it could balance out. It would be interesting. I think that'd be cool to actually give some kind of thing where, you know, it's a server against that server. So it would be interesting. I think it would be cool. And the one thing I would love to see, if there was an event boss at the end of it. Like, it's all building up to something, and then, boom, this big, huge boss would be something that you would have to do. If it's a month-long event, there would have to be, like, different unlocks that would have to be accomplished before that boss would open up. But I don't mean, like, reputation. Like, certain things that you would have to complete maybe leading up to it. Does that make sense?
What if it was like a 48-man boss or something?
Oh my
gosh,
you
had to get multiple guilds to go in. I mean, you had a month to prepare for it,
that's
right?
Exactly. So see, that's what I'm thinking. Just, boom, if we can have, they're planning on having the guild commanders for the guild conquest event, those commanders, that's going to be open world PvP on a bigger scale. So I'm thinking maybe you could have it where, boom, you could have multiple guilds in a big, you know, battle against this one big, huge NPC. I think that would be epic. I think that would be something where people would be like, all right, I'm going to do this event because I want to get to that dude.
Well, I guess we'll just see what's coming up once they finally get this new expansion out and what they start working on.
Yeah, I'm sure that they've got some of that on the wall crazy. And
I want a big, huge, epic boss, so.
Who doesn't, though? I mean, seriously, you want a big, huge boss. But also, you know, everybody knows, besides Heather taking down operations, bosses especially, she's also likes to PvP. And in fact, she's got a new little segment we're going to be doing starting today. Heather's G2G. That's Guide to Ganking. So I think today we're going to cover, or Heather's going to cover, how you get started, gear, and stuff like that. So here you go, Heather.
Yeah, we had a listener request if we could talk about more PvP, so we're going to start doing that. So what is PvP? This is the most basic question. PvP is player versus player. There's PvP servers, and there's PvP also in player versus environment servers. So PvP servers is when everyone is automatically already flagged for PvP. So if you're in an area or on a planet where there's both factions there, such as Tatooine, if someone's flagged, if you're flagged, well, you're on a PvP server, so they can just attack you. On a PvE server, this is not the case. You do have to be ready to fight other players, intelligent humans instead of NPCs. PvP's also, we also have war zones, which we will cover a little bit more in the next show. And also there's open world PvP, which is what I was just talking about. Say you're on Tatooine and someone attacks you in the open world. That is open world PvP. Also, although GSF is technically space PvP, when the general population talks about PvP, they are not talking about GSF. So let's go over how to queue.
So, Heather, I'm on the fleet right now. What do I do to get queued up for Warzone? You know, PvP, what do I need to do?
Well, first off, if you're on the fleet, you want to pick up your mission, your daily and weeklies from the combat training mission terminal.
I'm not used to PvP. Where exactly are those terminals at?
It's in the combat training area. So on the Imperial fleet, it's in the northeast side. I don't ever play Republic, so I'm not sure where that is.
That's
on the
just
fleet.
The exact opposite.
Yeah, it's on the opposite, but there will be a terminal that looks just like the other mission terminals, like the ones in the supplies area. You want to pick up your dailies and weeklies from there before you go into the war zones, because you want to get credit, you want to get extra comms and adrenals and things like that when you complete those dailies and weeklies. So, how do you queue once you get your missions? On your mini-map, there's going to be an Imperial or Republic symbol depending on which faction you are. You want to click on that, and you're going to see ranked, queue for ranked and unranked, solo or grouped. So if you're just starting, you definitely want to just unranked war zones. Have you ever accidentally queued up for ranked, Jason?
No.
Me either.
I did get, now my nephews conned me. Because we queue up for GSF all the time as a group. Well, see, they conned me, and we actually queued up for Warzone.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're just starting out, you definitely want to start with unranked Warzones. And hopefully you have some friends with you. You guys can queue as a group, but otherwise you can queue solo. And that's with the Imperial or Republic symbol. That's how you queue. Another thing that you'll want to know about is that there is a respec trainer also in the combat training area. On your skill trees, there's certain abilities that are better for PvP than PvE. Depending on how high your level is, you might want to respec and take those different abilities. So that's also in that area. Next thing that we want to go over, what is Valor? If you look at your character sheet, you can see on there that there's something called Valor. Valor is basically your PvP experience level. You can't get your current character level higher than your Valor level. So if you're level 20, you can't have 21 Valor. So if you keep doing PvP but you're not leveling, it's not going to increase your Valor level at all. You get titles every 10 levels, like Duelist and things like that. After 40 Valor, you can exchange your unranked Warzone comms for Warzone comms, which will be important once you start gearing up. But if you're just leveling, gear's probably not too much of an issue. You could probably just go in with your PvE gear and be okay. Once you're after level 55, though, I think this is more of an issue, but we'll talk about that on another show.
Now, is there something, I know you mentioned with your stats, it's not, how big of a deal are stats in PvP? Because a lot of people think, these stats are something I'll need in the PvE environment and stuff like that. How important are stats in PvP? Is there any ones in particular?
So 55, I don't think it's a big deal. After level 55 and you have all these people that are endgame geared, you definitely want to have expertise. If you're just starting to gear up, though, you might not have it. But there is something called Bolster, which puts everyone on an equal ground, kind of, when you're below 55, if you're different levels, it puts everyone kind of at the same level.
Oh,
and
cool.
Also, and then after a while, if you're doing endgame PvPing, expertise, it bolsters your level for expertise on that.
So another way that they're kind of balancing things. So.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But gear is much, 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 much more important and ranked. It's kind of understandable if you don't have gear in unranked PvP because, how are you going to get gear if you don't do it? So I know for some people that's kind of a catch-22. Like, I want to do PvP, but I don't have the gear, but I won't get the gear if I don't do PvP, so.
This is one more question on gear. I don't mean. What, would you recommend them go ahead and maybe have their weapon have one of the expertise crystals if they can get it?
If they can get it, I would, but just leveling, I wouldn't worry so much about gear. I would just worry about making sure that you have gear that's relevant to your level.
Cool.
For now, just because you're going to level so fast that it would kind of be a waste just to use your Warzone comms unless you, you know, you're really maxing this out. Then there's, I'm sure there's lots of guides out there on what to do with your extra comms. The next thing I wanted to go over, once you do start getting into PvP, when people use certain terms, there's certain things that they mean despite their real world definitions. So I wanted to talk about CC. What is CC? I think you've heard this a little bit in PvE also, but CC is crowd control. And there's different ways that you can crowd control. Basically what this is it's how to control your opponents from doing things that you don't want them to do.
I kill you.
Yeah, they're basically debuffs that you can place on other players to affect their movement or ability to cast abilities or to use their abilities. So, for example, we have a few that I wanted to talk about. So interrupts, you interrupt NPCs also, but interrupts you can, every class has this, you interrupt the cast. So if you see a healer in the war zone, you know, trying to shoot off their heal, you want to interrupt that depending on which heal it is. So we have snares. Snares are abilities that reduce the movement speed of an opponent. For example, Inquisitors have Force Slow. And so if you get Force Slow casted on you, it makes you can't move as quickly or as normal. We have Root. These are things that place players in place. They can use abilities, but they cannot move from their location. For example, Gunslingers have Leg Shots. So you can move, you can turn, you can use your abilities, but you can't move. We have stuns, which you might hear people say. Stuns are hard CCs. This stops you from moving or using any of your abilities. So Inquisitors have Electrocute. We have Mez. Mez is our stuns that that break if the target receives the damage. So say, in a PvE situation, you tell someone, oh, go CC that thing. And someone breaks the CC because they go and attack it. So that's what that kind of is in the war zone.
Now, is it the same thing? I mean, if you get somebody that's CC'd, he's like, okay, don't attack him, or is it in PvP?
No, it's pretty much the same thing. I can go stealth in with my assassin and mess someone and hopefully, depending on the situation is, not sure if they'll break it or not, but that's lots of, strategic things that we can talk about later. But yes, I can CC just the same in PvP as in PvE. Another thing that you'll hear people say is getting white barred or having resolves. Basically, several types of crowd control or CC contribute to your resolve bar. This is something that you'll want to change on your, not exactly your UI, but in your preferences to show the resolve bar on other players and yourself. When it's full and turns white, you are immune to all types of CC until the bar empties again. This is what's called getting white barred. And of course, with all this talk about CCs, you want to know CC break. This is an ability that you can use when you are stunned, mezzed, or anything else that removes all your crowd control effects immediately. Every class has one, so hopefully you know which ability it is for your class. All right, and then if I've forgotten anything basic, or if you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear what your questions are for PvP. If you have any other questions that you just want to know before you jump into the pool, I'll be happy to answer those for you. But next time on the show, I'll talk about what to do when you're actually in a war zone.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Heather. That's Heather's Guide to Ganking. And like she said, if you have any questions about PvP, like Warzone, some basic questions that you want to know, you say you're wanting to get into PvP, ask us your question. You know, you can email us at krillinrun@gmail.com or heather@prelittlesith.com, and we'll get those questions onto you on the show, hopefully. And speaking of questions, in our quick mentions that we get ready to start, we had an email from Ricky. And he wrote to us and he said, "I have just started listening to the show and it is awesome." Thank you, Ricky. "I was just curious if there was any mention of Legacy Bank. Again, the show is awesome." Well, thanks again, Ricky, for the email and the compliments. Legacy Storage, what I found out when I was testing it, the biggest benefit of the current version of Legacy Bank is for crafting. You can put all your materials, can be stored in there, and they can be accessed by any of your characters within your legacy. So there's no more need to mail your materials between your characters. If you have a person that collects all your crafting materials, just make sure they put it in the legacy bank, and then your crafters, you can log on with your crafters and start crafting, sending off their command to start crafting. That should be no problem. The only thing I do know is the bind up on pickup items are still not allowed to be placed in your legacy bank. So that means that any of those kind of weapons or armor that's bound like that, you won't be able to share those with your other characters. So they either have to be unbound or a legacy, connected to your legacy type of armor. So thank you again for the question and the compliments.
So how do you get a legacy bank?
You know what? That's a good question. Actually, you can get a legacy bank via your Galactic Stronghold. You'll be able to get one of those I think you just go through the intro, and you'll be able to get through that. It'll be one of those things you can access on that. I think everybody is going to get access to one of the legacy banks. I think one or two, actually. I may be wrong about that. I think it's two. Let's go with one right now. But I do know you'll at least get one. You can place that down in your Galactic Stronghold. You know, if you're a subscriber and you get early access, if you're on the early access, you'll be able to put that right down in their Narshadal Sky Palace. Or later on, if you want to put that down in any one of your other Galactic Strongholds, you can put one of those down. So that was a good question. But yeah, you get those and you put that in your Stronghold, and you can start crafting away.
And I think you can also expand it. You can either pay credits or cartel coins and get more space.
Yes, you can. just like any of your other bank tabs. They did during testing, and hats off to all the testers out there. It was going to be an exorbitant amount of credits to get a tab, but they dropped those down to where it's more in line with other bank tabs and stuff like that. Again, if you have a question like Ricky did, you can email us those questions at curlingrun@gmail.com. Or me personally at jason@curlingrun.com.
If you're a guild leader and looking to get your guild notice, why not contact us about our new Guild Ready Check segment? If you're interested, please send us an email to curlingrun@gmail.com or to me at heather@prettylittlesith.com, and maybe we can get you on the show. Thank you to those guilds who have contacted us, though. Stay tuned for some new Guild Ready Checks and Community Checkpoint articles.
We are looking to highlight guilds in our Community Checkpoint article. Let the SWTOR community learn about your guild and help generate interest in potential new recruits, especially with the new guild conquest events coming up. That, and you're probably going to need a few more people helping to get money to get your flagship. So,
Yeah. If anything, more people, more money, right?
Exactly. So once your guild highlighted an article, just email us at curlingrun@gmail.com or me personally at jason@curlingrun.com. And don't forget to check out all the great articles on CRR this week.
We also have a few podcast shout-outs, our fellow English-speaking SWTOR podcasts. We have a few new ones, too. But for now, we have Utini Cast, Unnamed SWTOR Podcast, Torocast, SWTOR Escape Podcast, Bad Feeling Podcast, Enmity Podcast, and we have some new ones that I added here on the list. We have Star Wars Beyond the Stars, which has the guys from SWTOR Reforged on there. I think they're on their maybe second episode.
Nice.
So you want to check them out. And we also have Old Republic Radio. They have come back after a year, I think it was. So you want to check them out again. I think they have some new hosts as well. And also we have Healing SWTOR, healingswtor.com. And he, guess what? He talks about healing.
That is awesome.
So let us know if we're missing any podcast.
It's amazing how many podcasts there are out there. It's great. Mm-hmm. The more people in the community, the better. Please take a moment to leave us a positive feedback on iTunes. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
You can contact us through our website, CorellianRun.com, or through Twitter, @CorellianRun, or @Heather_PLS, or @JT_HollowNet, on our Facebook page or Facebook group. You can leave us a voicemail on the website. Also, we're looking for writers, so you can email Jason@CorellianRun.com.
That's going to wrap it up for us at Corellian Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Jason.
I'm Heather. May the Force be with you, or keep that blaster by your side, kid.
You've been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Heather say,
"Party at my stronghold tonight."
End transmission.